All right. So in the last episode, we started talking about the rogue journey.
I'm your host.
We got through the first
stage
of the rogue journey. Well, many stages, but the first third or so of the rogue journey, where our hero is still in his ordinary world and he gets called to this great adventure. Well, now we are going to pick up in part two, which is called The Initiation. This happens immediately after our hero crosses into this magical world that he's on his journey. So again, I'm going to use examples from Harry Potter and Star Wars and maybe a little bit of Lord of the Rings in there as examples to prove each of these points. While we call this the initiation, it's also called the Road of Trials. It's a series of events that happen to our hero, and it's these experiences that make the hero the hero. And without these experiences, our hero would never be able to accomplish the quest at the end in that crucial moment. So this is where our hero becomes who they are. So I'm going to go through these in the order that I have them in my PowerPoint, but just know that often these events or steps are out of order, and they might not all be included in every single journey. One stage of the Road of Trials is called the Brother Battle, and this is when our hero has to battle either physically or mentally with someone who is a relative or a close friend. Now, we actually see this in Harry Potter before Harry crosses the threshold, and this is when he's fighting with the Dursleys, especially his uncle Vernon Dursley, as he's trying to get his letter. He knows that there's a letter for him, and he just wants to get it, so he's battling with him to get it. It could also be anytime he battles with Dudley. We see this in Star Wars when Luke is fighting with his aunt and uncle when he wants to leave the planet. They want him to stay and be a moisture farmer. You can also see this in Luke battling with Han Solo because Han becomes a relative of his. And or anytime he bickers with Princess Leia, who is, you know, actually his sister. But they're battling or they're fighting mentally or physically. And usually it's a battle of wills that's happening in these stories. Now, the next stage is called the Meeting of the Goddess. And this is where our hero meets a character who has a special beauty or power. And it also represents like unconditional love. So we see this in Star Wars, the first time Luke meets Princess Leia. And if you remember, he goes into the prison and she sits up because she's laying down in her cell and he stops. Like he's never seen such a beautiful person in his whole life. We'll just pretend that they're not brother and sister in that moment since they don't know it. And that is the meeting of the goddess for Luke. Now, for Harry, I don't know when his meeting of the goddess is. I know that we want it to be Hermione, but it's really not. And I feel like it's probably when he sees or meets Dumbledore for the first time. So even though it's called the Meeting of the Goddess, it never actually has to be a female character. It is someone with intense power. And in Harry Potter's world, that is Dumbledore. Next, we have what's called a night or sea journey. And this represents the places that our hero has to travel to. And that they never complete their quest in one place or close to home. So quite literally in Harry Potter, he goes on a journey on the train. And then when they get to Hogsmeade, he takes a boat across the lake to Hogwarts. You can also think of it in the very first Harry Potter when they cannot go to the third floor corridor. And they do anyway. And he has to literally travel through the third floor corridor through all of the different trials to get to the end. That's how we see this in Harry Potter. Now in Star Wars, he literally travels across the galaxy. It happens very frequently. There's not one instance of a night or sea journey for Luke. He is constantly traveling all over the universe. The next stage is called the Dragon Battle. And this is where our hero has to battle some kind of monster, or our hero has to face his own inner demons. Harry's dragon battle actually happens early on in the book, and it's Halloween night when an ogre is led into the castle.
and Ron and Harry have to go save Hermione from the ogre. And they have that battle scene in the bathroom. That is Harry's dragon battle. It is the first time that Harry has really fought something and won. And it, I like to think that it probably gave him just enough confidence, just a smidgen of confidence. And every time he has these dragon battles, that he gains more and more confidence until at the end he's able to do what he needs to do. But for Luke, he has many dragon battles, but probably his first one, real one, is when after they save Princess Leia, they have to escape and they go down the garbage chute and there's a monster in the garbage chute. That is his first dragon battle. Now, later on in the series, he has to face his deepest fear or his darkest fear. And for him, that is that he's going to become like his father, Darth Vader. And so we don't see this until movie 2 or episode 5, because remember, I'm a Gen Xer, so that's movie 2, where he has to go into the cave and he has to face Darth Vader, but it's all in his mind. And he's afraid that he's going to become just like his father. The next stage is called ritual death or dismemberment. Ooh, that sounds bad. But this is when we think the hero is thought to be injured or dead, or the hero thinks that someone close to them has died. And this can also be when maybe our hero suffers an injury and they lose a limb or a body part. There's this ritual death that has to happen for our hero to be reborn. So we see this in Star Wars in episode 4, when Obi-Wan basically sacrifices himself when he's battling Darth Vader so they can leave the station. Now, we know that Obi-Wan didn't really die, but Luke thinks he's dead. Like, Luke thinks he's dead. This happens to Gandalf when he falls and has to battle the Balrog. We also see this later on in the series when Luke literally loses his hand to Darth Vader and he has to get another hand. The next stage is called the sacred marriage. And this is where our hero has a special or an emotional bond to another character. It's not an actual marriage, and often this is a really deep friendship. Now, for Luke, he has a very special bond with Leia, and they don't know why at first that they're so connected. And it isn't until later that they realize that they're brother and sister, and that's why they're so connected. For Harry, his sacred marriage is literally with Ron and Hermione. They are his best friends. They are his everything. So somewhere in this road of trials, there's a stage called the atonement with the father or recognition with the father. And this is where our hero is reunited with a father figure in some way. But sometimes this shows up with our hero as in a confrontation with someone or something that has incredible power. So if we take Luke Skywalker, he actually doesn't have this happen in the first movie, right? In episode 4. This happens for Luke Skywalker at the end of episode 6, when Darth Vader sacrifices his life for him and he takes his body out and tries to save his father. This is for Luke when it happens. This doesn't even happen in this first movie. For Harry Potter, it's very different. In the first book, he finds the mirror and he's able to see his parents in this mirror. And that's a recognition, right? It's an acknowledging. But we see this happening throughout Star Wars, throughout Harry Potter, throughout Lord of the Rings. There's a reuniting with Gandalf that happens. But remember, the second part of this is that it can be confrontation with someone or something that has incredible power. So every time our heroes have to come up against their enemy, that is an atonement or a recognition with the father. And it's really interesting in Harry Potter, when Voldemort comes back to life, he literally has this ritual with his father and he needs Harry's blood for it. It's very symbolic. Now, the next stage is called the belly of the whale or the supreme ordeal. And I wanted to stop for a second and talk about the belly of the whale and the imagery that that has. So in this stage, our hero has to face their deepest fear, or they have to face the darkest evil. Now, when this happens, it changes our hero. It fundamentally changes who they are. And it's who they are on the other side of this experience that gives them the confidence and the power to get to the end, to do the big heroic act. Or sometimes this is part of that large heroic act. So the belly of the whale comes from the biblical story of Jonah. Now, Jonah was called of God to go preach to Nineveh. Now, the Ninevites hated Israel, and they had sworn that if any Israeli went into their city or their country, that they would kill them. So for Jonah, his deepest, darkest fear is that he is going to lose his life. And he runs from God. He runs. He's like, I'm not going to Nineveh. So Jonah gets on the boat, and there's, of course, a great storm. And Jonah, you know, he knows. He knows that this is because of him. And he tries to hide. He tries to hide in the boat. And everyone on the boat is praying to their God and calling upon their gods to save them. And everyone comes to Jonah and says, why is this happening? And he says, it's because of me. I'm running from my God. And they basically say, like, what should we do? And Jonah says, you need to throw me into the ocean and you'll be saved. It, because Jonah knows, right? He knows. He knows he's running from God. He knows it's his fault. And they refuse to do so at first. And they try praying to the Hebrew God. And of course, the storm doesn't stop. And so they take Jonah and they cast him into the sea. Now, at that moment, we assume that they were saved. But we also know that a great fish swallows Jonah. And now he's in this belly of the whale, right, for 3 days and three nights. Now let's stop. For Jonah, he has to face his deepest fear, which is death. And he says to them, throw me into the ocean. This is when Jonah faces his deepest fear. And the 3 days that he's in the belly of the whale changed Jonah. And they change his perspective. And then it's not until he prays to God, he begs for forgiveness, the whale spits him up, and Jonah goes and preaches to the Ninevites. So that experience changes Jonah. They have to face their fear or face that evil, and then they are changed. If we look at this, the biggest evil in Star Wars, in the first movie, Episode 4, is the Death Star. That is the greatest evil. They watch it blow up a planet. So Luke has to face this down. And it's very symbolic. Like, they can't destroy the Death Star from a distance. They have to get very close to it. They have to be basically inside of it to destroy it. It's very symbolic. For Harry Potter, he has to also face the biggest evil in the story, which is, he doesn't know it at the time, but Voldemort. Facing Voldemort at the end all by himself is his greatest fear. He's already alone. He doesn't want to be alone. And he has these amazing friends that he found at school. And now he has to do this alone. Usually right around the time of the belly of the whale, the next stage is called the ultimate boon or the magic elixir. And this is where our hero finds a special solution to the problem they're attempting to solve. This could be magic. It could be a key. It could be help. But it is something that allows the hero to save their world and complete the quest. So for Harry Potter, this is pretty straightforward. He puts his hands on Professor Quirrell. And that magical element that he has in his hands that burn Quirrell away and send Voldemort away is the love of his mother, right? That's the key. That's the magic that Harry has inside of him. And only Harry could have done that. It's special to that hero. Only thing he could have done. Now, in Star Wars, we actually see this in a different way. And this happens when, right as Luke is trying to destroy the Death Star, he puts away his radar, he puts away his targeting gear, and he uses the Force to blow up the Death Star. That's the magic elixir. That's the ultimate boon, is the Force that only Luke can use to be successful, even though there are lots of people trying to shoot down the Death Star. Only Luke could have done it. So the next stage is, it's really interesting. I see this more often happen in The Return, but Joseph Campbell puts it in this stage. So, and this is called apotheosis or deification of our hero. And this is the point, like after our hero has faced their deepest fear, they've come through the belly of the whale, they are now the hero. They are set up as an ideal. There's a little bit of hero worship there. So we literally see this in Star Wars where they have a medal ceremony at the end for Luke, Chewbacca, and Han Solo. Yay. For Harry Potter, there's a celebration at the end that Harry Potter kind of gets in. It's that thing where like everybody knows what he did, but nobody's supposed to talk about it. And they're all cheering for him. And so he had this sort of aura about him because of his scar. But after that first year, it's now solidified. Like it's Harry Potter and he can defeat evil. Okay. So that's the end of part two. And the next episode will be a quick one and it will be The Return. Thanks for joining me today on Teaching Mythology. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. And I'll see you next time.